Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 24. It's a longer passage. I wanted to read all of it to you today. Chapter 24, verse 1 to 27. Before we begin, let me pray. Oh God, eternal creator, who on the first day of creation called forth light out of darkness, who on the first day of the new creation, the age to come, he brought life from the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead. We pray that you would grant us your spirit, give us light and life as well, that we might receive with faith your word and walk as children of light raised from the dead to serve you in newness of life. Speak to us, O Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, friends, Christ is risen. You're supposed to say, yes. Christ is risen. Today is a special day in the church. It's Easter Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate Christ's resurrection. We actually celebrate Christ's resurrection every Sunday. That is why we meet on Sunday. Today, all over the world, Christians, though, will especially remember that it was around this time of year, after the Passover, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And they'll go and they'll say in their languages, Christ is risen. And they'll hear in response, he is risen indeed. And has changed everything. It's changed the world. It actually is the beginning of the new world. In Jesus Christ, the new creation has begun. He is the first glorified person. And he carries us all of the church, and indeed all of the universe one day in his wake will follow our head. He is the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of creation. It is this day when Christ begins to make all things new, when he has begun to fix all the problems that we created, and he will finish what he starts. The work that he begins, he finishes. So this is a day of rejoicing. It is the happiest of all days since the beginning of the world. Our Savior has come. He has done the work that needed to be done for us to be saved. He said on the cross, it is finished. He rose from the dead and was proof that what he did was enough, that the grave, which is our common enemy, will be defeated, has been defeated in him. But we might ask, why is the resurrection important? What if Jesus had not been raised? What if he was just a great martyr who died and he stayed dead 2,000 years ago? Is it really necessary for our salvation that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? That is the question I want us to consider this morning. Let me begin by reading God's word. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is God's word. So, brothers and sisters, why is this important? What if Jesus had not been raised? You know, oftentimes when we share the gospel, we put it in terms like this: there is good news for you. You are a sinner, you deserve God's wrath, but God has provided a Savior, Jesus Christ. He is someone who has never sinned, and he has come to take your place. He lived a perfect life. He was condemned as a criminal, even though he was innocent. He took our sins upon himself. He died for sinners, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. He took our cup of suffering and gave us his cup of blessing. Where is the resurrection in this? Sometimes we think of our Savior, the gospel that our Savior has brought to us, in terms of standing in front of a courtroom. You are a condemned criminal. You are guilty of death. You have come before the judge. The judge declares, "You are guilty. You must be punished." And at that moment, a holy man comes, stands in the back, and says, "Wait, I will pay the punishment for this person. I will pay the price." And this man comes up, speaks with the judge, and the judge says, "This is an acceptable payment. You may go free. You, sir, are condemned to death." And he is killed. You are set free. He is dead. What does it matter if he rises from the dead or not? Because it sounds like he doesn't need to rise from the dead. It sounds like you're already free. Why is the resurrection necessary at all? But God answers this question in the strongest terms in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says this: "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." That is about as strong as it gets. If Christ was not raised, our faith is worthless. your salvation is gone. We are of all men most to be pitied. You are still in your sins. And this means that there is something very incomplete about that analogy that I just gave you of the holy man who took your place in the courtroom and died in your place. What's wrong with that analogy? One thing is that you, in the analogy, are alive. You are actually dead in your sins in terms of being separated from God. Physically, you're alive. Spiritually, without Christ, we are dead. We are estranged from God. Ephesians 2 says that even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him in the heavenly places. We see here that we go through a resurrection when we're saved. We don't simply need to be pardoned and set free. We need to be raised from the dead. So Jesus Christ has come. He takes our sin upon us, and the wages of sin is death. So he goes through that death for us, enters into the grave where, spiritually speaking, we are. And then, uniting us to himself, he raises us with him that we might be saved with Christ. So for one, Christ's resurrection was necessary because we were dead, and Christ doesn't simply have to pay a price. He has to raise us. He has to rescue us. Brothers and sisters, do you trust in Jesus for salvation? Do you? Do you have faith? The only reason that you are able to have faith, if you do, is because God gave you that faith. It's a gift. You can only be alive to believe if Christ is in fact alive. The life that he gives you is his own life. Paul put it this way, "For to me, to live is Christ." In Colossians chapter 3, he said, "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we will be revealed with him in glory." In Galatians, he said that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is at the heart of Paul's teaching, that we don't live on our own, but are united to Christ. Jesus Christ didn't just give salvation. Jesus Christ gave himself, and in him are all the benefits of salvation. Without him, our salvation remains buried and away from us. So we need a Savior who was alive. Paul said, "To live is Christ." How could this be if Christ is still dead? So the truth is, if Jesus remained dead, then everything he did for your salvation, every spiritual gift that the Father offers us, would remain useless and of no value to you. And there would be no hope at all, just as Paul said. Our very salvation would remain buried, out of reach, and gone. So is this not a problem with our understanding of the gospel today, with our sharing of the gospel today? I noticed this when I was young. I used to work with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we would share the gospel with children often. And I often found myself wondering, why is it that in my presentation of the gospel, I don't need to really mention the resurrection? It's just an extra happy note at the end. But when you read through the book of Acts, they always mention the resurrection in every sermon. It is the heart of the gospel. It's because sometimes we can imagine our salvation apart from Jesus, that we can go free, whatever that means, while Jesus remains dead and buried. That is not salvation. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You know that. You've heard that verse. But our conception of eternal life is just living forever. Then a key verse in our understanding of this happens later in John. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus says in his prayer, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." That does not sound like eternal life as we often conceive of it, just as life existing forever. Eternal life is knowing God, knowing Jesus. That's what John means when he writes about eternal life given to us. And so in 1 John, it said that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you are not united to Jesus, you don't have the life. You remember he said it over and over again, didn't he? "I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life," right? He said it again and again. He is our life. He did not make you to be independent, that you might roam around free, having been pardoned. The only way he could bless us is by uniting us to himself. Jesus Christ doesn't just die for us. He gives us himself. And so I'm not preaching simply about a resurrection. I am preaching about Jesus, who was raised for your salvation. And he is the one whom you must know. When we celebrate Easter, we don't just remember something great, something somebody did, like Neil Armstrong walking on the moon one day, or Arnold Winkelried, or somebody who martyred himself that he might save others and then remain dead. I'm speaking about the one who was on the throne even now, the one who lives and lives forever. He is the one who is offered to you today. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, how could we then have any hope of resurrection and eternal life if the resurrection and the life himself, the author of life, was still dead? And so, brothers and sisters, I hope you see it is absolutely necessary that Christ was raised in order for you to be saved. Sometimes the Bible will speak of the church as the body of Christ. He is the head. The body can't live without the head. The body has no direction without the head. We need our Savior alive, or there will be no hope for our future bodies. Without the resurrection, you see, there would be no gospel, there would be no reason for preaching, no hope, no reason for faith. And there would be many other reasons that we could look to help us understand the importance of Christ's resurrection. But the main thing I want you to remember today is that Christ, it was absolutely necessary that Christ was raised because you still need him. Look at what happened to his disciples as soon as Jesus was arrested. Do you remember? They all ran away. Brave Peter, who was, "No, I will die. I'll die with you." He was terrified of a little girl. And Jesus had said to him, "All of you will fall away this night because of me, for it is written, 'Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.'" That's what happened. We're like sheep running around terrified. The shepherd is gone. It seemed as if Christianity had died with Christ. They're hopeless, they're fearful, they're weak, they're scattered. Look at the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus in our passage. They say, "We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. We were hoping. Now we're not. That hope is gone. That hope has died with him." But now that Jesus is raised, what does he do? He goes right back to work. He comforts the mourners at the tomb. He teaches scripture to his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He gathers his scattered disciples again in Galilee. They would not have come back together again on their own. But within days, this little terrified, scattered band becomes an unstoppable force, a missionary force that will spread all the way around the world and outlast the Roman Empire and every other human organization. It will outlast the world itself. From that day on, the world would now be characterized by hope. Persecution will not slow them down. The grave itself will not stop the church. The apostles who had fled from little girls would soon stand boldly before kings, preaching the gospel even in their chains. Now, what caused this change? You already know it. It was the one reason and one reason only that they could have. It was that Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Here we are. We're not in Israel right now. We're not in Jerusalem. We're in Mount Pleasant, on the other side of the world. 2,000 years later, we're here. Why are we here? It's because Jesus Christ keeps his promises. Jesus Christ has built his church, and the gates of Hades have not overcome it and will not overcome it. You all are living proof that God keeps his promises. You are living proof that Jesus is alive. If he didn't rise from the dead, the church would have come to nothing. We would never be here. Who knows what we would be doing? But Jesus Christ has been raised. He has built his church. He has the keys to the gates of hell in his hands. In fact, the message of the resurrection was what the apostles preached all throughout the book of Acts, as I mentioned. You remember 50 days later, Peter's great sermon in Acts 2 at Pentecost, where 3,000 people would be saved at one time. But do you remember what that sermon was about? Read it again if you'd like today. It was all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter barely mentions anything else about Jesus' ministry. He preaches the resurrection. And he preached about Christ's current work, giving the Holy Spirit to the apostles and to those who were there. The whole book of Acts, you see, is the story, not really of what the apostles did, but what Christ did through the apostles. So if there was no resurrection, there would be no book of Acts. There would be no church. Brothers and sisters, the church in Acts and the church today, Eastbridge Presbyterian Church, we need Jesus as our pastor. We need Jesus as our king as much as any church has ever needed it. If he didn't protect us, Satan would scatter us immediately. There would be no one to gather us again. Every great Christian you know or you've ever heard of, we would all fall away immediately if Jesus did not continue to hold us together and gather us into his church, if Jesus did not protect us. That's why the resurrection is necessary, because you need Jesus to be your pastor and your king. You also need Jesus to be your teacher and your prophet too. In our passage this morning, you see, one of the very first things that Jesus does is explain the whole Bible to his disciples. He does this before he reveals that he's alive. It would have been so easy for him to just open their eyes and say, "Look, I'm alive," and then have them figure it out afterwards. That's not the way he wants to work. The women who come to the tomb are reminded of his words beforehand. They remember it. The disciples on the road to Emmaus are explained the scriptures before he presents any physical evidence to them, while the evidence is right in front of them. Jesus deems it more important to explain scripture so that everyone would come to know him by faith and not by sight, just like you this morning. You are not being given any, you don't have any advantages taken away just because we're 2,000 years removed. The same word that is explained to those disciples is here for you. God wants you to come to know him by faith. Then he reveals himself. So this is what Jesus does as our teacher. He explains, he opens their eyes to understand the things that were, as it were, veiled to them. He showed them from Moses and the Psalms and the prophets from the Old Testament how he had to die and had to be raised. It was something they didn't understand before and couldn't understand without having Christ as their teacher. The apostles, too, even though they misunderstood so much of what Jesus had said before he died, after the resurrection, they understood it and they preached it to thousands. It was because the Holy Spirit had taught them, the Holy Spirit of the living Christ. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, could only be given because after he was glorified. So Jesus speaks to the church now by the Holy Spirit. And so everything that you know about God is because Jesus taught you. He couldn't do that if he were dead. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't understand the Bible. We wouldn't know God as our Father. Finally, you need Jesus as your priest. Jesus, as a priest, doesn't just sacrifice himself. He also intercedes. That was the job of priests. They were to pray. Pray before the throne. Jesus prays for you all the time. When Jesus told Peter that Satan had demanded to sift him like wheat, Jesus added these words, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith would not fail. And you, when you've turned, strengthen your disciples." What made all the difference? Was it Peter was taught well? Was it that Peter was a very stubborn guy and he would stand up against any persecution? No, it was because Jesus prayed for Peter. And that is the only reason that we can stand, because our priest, our high priest, has entered heaven for us. He prays for this church. He prays for you individually. He brings all our prayers to God and presents them to him as perfect. And Jesus never slumbers. He never sleeps. He knows your needs before you know them. He knows just what to pray for. He is your representative before God, a righteous representative, so that you too can stand before the throne one day and be declared righteous. This is possible because Jesus is alive. He was raised for your justification. And there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and no one comes to God through him. So if Jesus was not raised, there would be no forgiveness, no life with God, no justification, nothing for us but condemnation. Brothers and sisters, the good news this morning is that Jesus Christ has been raised, and we were raised with him. So there is new life, new hope, a new resurrection, a new creation. The old things have passed away. There is good news. There is security and protection from Satan. There is a church all over the world that will not be conquered. There is a perfect mediator before God. There is knowledge of God as our Father. And there is the Holy Spirit who dwells in every Christian, who teaches us, comforts us, and changes us. None of this would be possible without the resurrection. But Jesus has been raised. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that changes everything. We will be changed too. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Behold, he is making all things new. If you do not know him this morning, there is a Savior who has died for sin, died for sinners, and you are a sinner. If you come to him, he will gladly receive you to himself, and you will be raised in newness of life with him. All the benefits that could be given, anything that you need to be truly happy forever, you will find them nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. This world is not enough for you, not forever. Christ is enough. Come to him. He was given for sinners. He was raised from the dead for you. Come to him and be saved. And brothers and sisters, if you have him, rejoice always. If you truly understand what it means that we are in Christ, you would consider the might and wealth of nations to be mere pocket change in comparison to your heavenly inheritance. What is the world to him who has heaven? What is the world to him who has Christ? If you truly understand how much you still need Jesus, there will be no words more comforting to you than these. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He is the first and the last and the living one. And behold, he is alive forevermore. Let us pray. Well, Lord, we thank you for giving us a Savior who lives. Thank you that the grave has been conquered. Thank you that he is coming again. We pray that you would keep us close to him, keep us walking with him, that we might walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.